You are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Coming up this week on Kings of the Rings podcast, things are heating up in the world of pro wrestling. WWE is preparing for not one, not two, but actually three major events. AEW wants to add more pay-per-views, and surprise, surprise, Paul Heyman does not know how to take a super kick at all. So sit back, relax, and please, for the love of God, do not cross a picket line. It's Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 347. Hold the line, exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio, and it starts right now. Seriously, everybody's going on strike. UPS is about to go on strike soon, too. It's crazy. Yeah, it's going to happen. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 347. Hold the line. Of course, I am your host, King Ricky Rose, along with Kayfabe, formerly known as the K Murphy. No, Will tonight. Will had an unfortunate emergency, so he will not be joining us. So it is just me and the former B with us this week. How are you guys doing? I'm doing great. If you guys like what you see or what you're listening to, if you're listening to us on your podcast, please like, share, subscribe at KOTR_podcast. Across all social media outlets, and subscribe to us on Wrestle Addict Radio. Links to all of that is in the description below. If you really, really like us, and I know that you really do, one, leave a subscribe, hit that notification bar. Also, buy some of our merch. It's pretty awesome. I'm wearing it right now, even though you can't really see it on video because of the way the camera's situated. But the links to all of our awesome merch is also in the description below. We got a lot to talk about this week in wrestling, and some very related, I guess, pop culture news going on that might actually affect the world of sports and entertainment, particularly on the entertainment side. But first and foremost, Kayfabe, it has been a while. How are you?
Hi, I have done so much in the last couple of weeks. I have finally finished my time as being in a bridal party. My wedding streak has finally ended.
Thank goodness. Some
dog sitting. Work has been wild. But it's nice to be back. I don't really know what's going on. But hey, we're just going to have some fun.
Yes, we're going to have some fun. I'm going to guide Kate through the madness that has been going on in the world of sports and entertainment and pro wrestling in particular. We do have to talk about this one big thing going on in the world of, I guess, entertainment. So as a lot of you know, the Writers Guild of America and SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, have both gone on strike for the first time since 1960. Okay, for those of you guys who don't know what SAG and the Writers Guilds are, they're the people, they're the actors and actresses and the writers of all of your popular TV shows, your sitcoms, movies, this, that, and the third. They are striking, obviously, because a lot of things have changed in the past couple of years, especially since the pandemic and the advent and blow up of streaming services and AI. And they're looking to renegotiate their contract with the production companies. Be that as it may, there's a lot of stuff going out there about what they're fighting for. You guys can look that up on your own. I tell you that to tell you this. Something that you all enjoy and that you're listening to this podcast for, pro wrestling, is technically a television show. Okay? And with a television show, it is produced and there is a script and it's written by writers. And so you would suspect that the writers, that we would have people from the Writers Guild of America, which is part of a union, being a part of a show. And what would happen if that Writers Guild went on strike like they have? Will there be an actual decrease or in quality, or maybe like access to a bunch of writers that would produce, you know, some of these professional wrestling shows, including AEW and WWE? I'm here to tell you that probably not, because if you know anything about the wrestling business, especially with the superstars, they're not in a union. not the performers, pretty much not the writers at all. So there will probably not be anything different in the quality or you know, the access to writers for all these professional wrestling shows, because they're not in the union. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Can I just
they're more
say
than likely independent contractors.
That I think that quality of wrestling in general might go up because of this, because
I would agree with
more
you.
People might get into wrestling out of necessity, because everyone's favorite shows are not coming back anytime soon. Like,
no.
Euphoria is on hold until like 2026. Like, they're gonna be 30 by the time that fucking season comes out. Like, everything is tagged. Like, quite literally everything.
And everything is tagged. Everything's gonna be on hold for a while, and the cockroach that survives the apocalypse will always be professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Whenever everything else fails, pro wrestling is there and it's innovating. I predict a massive wrestling boom during and even a little bit after the strikes have concluded, which, by the way, they're not going away for a long time. And this is going to affect a lot of things, because with the strike happening, no movies are in production. No television shows are in production. You're going to see an uptick in a lot of crappy reality TV. Which for some of us is exciting, but everything's going to be put on hold. So hopefully you guys like reruns, because you're going to be seeing a lot of them. What also you have to kind of put into play here too is that there are professional wrestlers who would actually have SAG credits to them because they've been in popular shows. For instance, Mercedes Bernardo, probably known as Sasha Banks, is in The Mandalorian as Coach Reeve. That's a SAG credit. The Rock, John Cena, Seth Rollins, as he was, he was doing stuff for the new Captain America film. Becky Lynch was on Ballers. Mm-hmm. Becky Lynch has also been on The Rock show, Young Rock. So there is a lot of other talent in WWE that would technically probably have a SAG credit or worked on a SAG affiliated show. With that being said, since you're on strike, none of them are going to be on TV besides outside of wrestling. There's going to be no, you know, extra stuff that they're going to do. There's going to be no movie that they're going to have to go and shoot. They're all here all the time. And that's what's going to lead to, I think, this boom in the wrestling business. Be that as it may, like I said, folks, do your research on this stuff. I think what they're fighting for is pretty freaking valid. Hopefully they get the resolution, and hopefully soon, because I bought tickets to Comic-Con this year, and if nobody shows up, they cannot appear. They cannot appear and promote any new stuff. More so, they can't really go at all. And like, I will tell you, Kay, some of the meet and greet tickets went on sale last week. It went on sale the day before the strike went official.
That's wild.
Absolutely wild. So like, I was here's my list. Here's me and Sir Charles's list, who's been on the show. We wanted to see Mercedes, mm-hmm. clearly, because you could have picked that out of the hat. I want to see Mercedes, Katie Sackhoff, who's yes. Bo-Katan. And then Shameik Moore, who plays Miles Morales in the Spider-Verse movies.
That's cool. I'm not sure if I'm going to Comic-Con. I've never been. It has never worked out for me to go.
Okay, neither have I. I have a 4-day pass. So if you do show up, just let me know.
Yes.
And you can hang out. You can hang out with myself and Charles.
I would love that.
Okay. While we just buy merch out of the wazoo.
No, literally. That's the main reason I want to go to Comic-Con, is to shop.
Yeah, no, I hear the shopping is great and seeing people. You can run into MJF there too.
Yeah, my partner.
You know who also was going to be there too?
My partner went to Comic-Con last year, like last minute, but it was the weekend. I went to Salem, and I'm like,
ouch.
Yeah, so I couldn't.
You know who also is going to be there, Kay, that you would probably love to get a picture and autograph with?
Who?
The icon known as Tim Curry.
He's going to be there.
Yeah, he's supposed to be.
I love him.
I know, that's why I sent Tim Curry. I was like, I know that's why you'd want to go.
Yeah. I got like an email the other day about like signing up for the Ewan McGregor meet and greet. It's like $250.
Yeah, because Chris Evans is sold out. He sold out immediately.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, these aren't the only two strikes that are going on. UPS is probably about to go on strike next week, which will really screw things up. As well as, I don't know, this just happened. I saw this today, Kay. I think it's called IATSE.
What's that?
The Broadway stagehands.
Oh.
And writers are preparing to shut down Broadway as well.
I had a feeling Broadway was coming soon because Broadway is not affected by the SAG strikes.
No, the SAG strike only affects television and movie production right now. Also, the greatest thing about the SAG strike is, you know who the president of SAG is?
Hmm.
Fran Drescher.
Right, she is. But Fran's always been, like, pro-union.
I didn't know. I saw her speech and I was like, holy crap.
Even, like, when she was in The Nanny and in Beautician and the Beast, her characters are pro-union.
That I was not aware of. I have to look back and rewatch The Nanny because I'll be watching
it. It's popped up a lot on TikTok. There are clips from both Beautician and the Beast and the Nanny. Specifically in The Nanny, there's a picket line outside of a building and Mr. Sheffield's trying to come out and trying to get Fran to go inside. And she goes, "No, Mr. Sheffield." She goes, "My mother taught me three things, and one of them is not crossing a picket line."
Wow, that's good. Hopefully Will can learn that because we'll definitely cross the picket line clearly. Anywho.
That's why he's not here, folks. He's still trying to get out.
He is scabbing. He is scabbing. If you don't know what a scab is, I can send you a TikTok that explains scabbing with pro wrestling action figures. That's a real thing. I'll send it to you after the show. Okay?
I know what scabbing is, of course, but I just need to see how the figures are involved.
Oh, it's amazing. One of the figurines is Mr. McMahon. He represents the production company.
That tracks.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, like I said, you won't be really expecting any sort of strike to really affect wrestling. In fact, this may actually help wrestling. But you may want to strike when, Kay, I tell you this. Last night, Dirty Dom Mysterio won the NXT North American Championship.
Wait, what?
You heard me correct. Dirty Dominic Mysterio beat the longest reigning North American champion, Wes Lee, and is now the newest NXT North American champion.
Good for him, but like how?
Well, here's the thing with Judgment Day. They have been using Judgment Day in almost every way imaginable. They have shown up multiple times on NXT for multiple segments on Raw. They are really building them up, and rightfully so. There are some on this podcast who are saying Judgment Day sucks because all we do is lose, but now they are featured heavily everywhere, and this is an interesting dynamic that they have now, because now you have a faction that has championships from multiple shows at one time.
That's smart.
You know, and I don't think that's really been done before. I had a conversation earlier with my friend about, does the bloodline count? But since those titles were unified, I wouldn't say so. You know, this is a pretty interesting thing that sets them apart from other factions that have been. They have titles on shows that are completely separate from each other, including the Money in the Bank now. Damian Priest's Money in the Bank. Rhea Ripley is the WWE Women's World Champion. Dirty Dom Mysterio, who wears cow-printed boots, by the way, is your NXT North American Champion. And Finn's just there for the ride.
Finn will get something.
Which I think is kind of a narrative. Finn is going to go up against Seth at SummerSlam for a WWE World Championship. I don't know how that's going to go, but it is a very interesting dynamic that they're pulling. And this also proves to you, if you ever watch this clip, because they did do shenanigans for Dom to win, but it worked really well. Dominic is such a good heel. They shocked that NXT crowd.
Really?
There was a lot of surrender cobras in the crowd. I don't know if you know what a surrender cobra is.
I don't.
All right, so you know it's the classic hand on head like shock.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
That is a surrender cobra. Yeah, that's a surrender cobra. They got the crowd. They got me. I was like, you've got to be kidding me, right? But they're doing it. And of all people, because I remember, Kay, from a couple years ago when Dom first showed up on the scene, a lot of us were like, Dom should just be in NXT. What's he doing here?
Yeah, I was one of those people.
And now Dom's in NXT and he won a title. And now we're like, no, not like this. Which also proves to me that don't listen to us.
I'm honestly, though, I'm not mad about this, though. I kind of like it.
It's interesting because you know what? It does great things. It elevates Judgment Day, but also
it puts eyes on NXT.
It puts eyes on NXT, exactly. Because you do know Dom is going to show up on Raw with that NXT North American Championship.
As someone, and again, as someone that has not watched NXT in, when did it go to 2.0? Almost 2 years ago now?
It's not, they even got rid of the 2.0. It's just like, but NXT.
You
now
know the split.
Yeah.
I have not been committed to NXT since that has happened. And while I don't think Dirty Dom is enough to you know, get me watching NXT on Tuesday nights, but it's interesting. I think it's a great idea.
It creates talking points, and that's all you need is talking points in this time with NXT, because NXT is developmental at this point in time, and they do a lot of experimenting. Sometimes it's a hit or miss. I think NXT last night was a pretty big hit, but we'll see what happens with that. But let's move forward with some stuff and talk about the upcoming WrestleMania, because even though it is July, folks, WWE has started to plan for WrestleMania Philadelphia.
Wait, no. They're not on sale yet, are they?
Well,
I'm not ready for that. No. It's too early.
Let me finish. WWE put on priority package availability, which is essentially their new travel pass. Those became available on Monday night. Or Monday during the day, actually. Priority packages available. And I will explain to you what some of these priority passes are for WrestleMania. Okay, it's done by this group called On Location, who they partnered with in Philadelphia. Here are some of the perks for, let's say, let's go to the gold tier of packages. You get lower level seating, you get a signed commemorative poster, a ring mat plaque, priority pass gift pack, superstore express lane, dedicated arena entrance, WWE credential and lanyard. And also here's another thing, a pre-show hospitality with The Undertaker.
Like food, The Undertaker?
Yes.
That's wild.
You get to wine and dine before WrestleMania with The Undertaker. Like, could you imagine?
No, I can't imagine.
You know, on one of the top tier packages called The Elite Package, which includes a ticket and a priority pass, which is already sold out, you get front row seating. Okay. An elite welcome event, whatever that is. Exclusive backstage experience. You have to go backstage.
Stop.
At WrestleMania.
Okay. Keep talking, I'm filling my drink.
Pre-show hospitality with The Undertaker again, as well as you fill up your freaking orange soda from Popeyes, which is absolutely amazing. Okay. You also get private transportation to WrestleMania.
Yo, that's wild.
Okay, there's more, kayfabe.
No.
You also get in the Elite Package, which is sold out, so none of us can buy it, by the way. You're also getting an ECW Arena excursion with Rob Van Dam.
What?
Okay. Exclusive commemorative chair with hassle-free shipping. So you get one of your legendary WrestleMania chairs, and you get it shipped for you back to wherever the hell you live.
Did Dave buy a ticket?
He probably did. Dedicated in-seat wait staff. Okay. It says live podcast media lounges. WWE planning to have podcasts at WrestleMania, and where do we sign up?
There's no way. Okay, love us and all. There's no fucking way we would be able to get in that WrestleMania podcast lounge. No fucking way.
Listen, where there's a will, there's a way. We can try to make it happen.
We do have a will.
We do have a will, but I don't know if he's the way. on top of these priority ticket packages, which, like I said, are kind of already going to our hotel packages, which also include round-trip transportation to and from your hotel as well for several days. And some of these hotel packages also include SmackDown, WrestleMania, and Raw tickets, I believe. Don't quote me on that. Also, with this as well, which I will reveal to you guys right about now, because when you're doing these priority packages, you have to figure out what tickets you're going to get for everybody, which means, folks, what I'm presenting to you right now is the official WrestleMania seating chart for WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. That is the this is taken from On Location's website. This is the official seating chart that you can look at right now. You see all the different levels. There's standing room only. There's blacked out for the press. This is what it's going to look like when tickets go on sale. Be that as it may, speaking of tickets, there is no general on sale date for the tickets just yet.
Thank God.
However,
I'm not ready for that.
However, with the priority package passes by On Location going on sale this week, I am predicting it is going to be no later than mid-August when WrestleMania tickets will go on sale, which will include, like, obviously the pre-sale party, pre-sale, and then the general on sale. I'm going to say probably within a month from now, WrestleMania tickets will be on sale.
I'm not fucking ready to buy WrestleMania tickets in a month. I'm already fucking planning a trip right now.
Do you want to go to Survivor Series in Chicago then? Because those tickets are also on sale at the end of this week. Pre-sale started just right now. Survivor Series in Chicago. Will and I went a couple years ago. It's a fantastic time. Chicago in general.
Didn't they just use Survivor Series in Chicago?
4 years ago, which is kind of crazy to think. It was before the pandemic. Yeah.
I feel like you just went.
We did.
But we all went 2 years ago now, when it was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. We had a lovely
lunch.
Lovely brunch. And a good picture from that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You got to send me that picture. Actually, I don't think I have it.
I have it.
Thank you. But yeah, so you have a Survivor Series coming up, which tickets are on sale. WrestleMania tickets are probably going to sell in a month. And they're trying to build SummerSlam all at the same time. WWE is wildly pushing forward with a lot of these big pay-per-views. Three of their historic big fours, are going to be set up sooner rather than later. On the flip side, Kay, I don't know if you've heard this, but Warner Brothers Discovery, the company that owns AEW, aka Tony Khan World, is pushing AEW to have more pay-per-views instead of their four, which two of them are going to be a week apart from each other, with All In and Wembley Stadium, and a week later, All Out in Chicago. What about All In or about All Out?
No, how they're gonna fucking make those two pay-per-views a week apart?
No one knows. They haven't even started really. I haven't seen them really push All In. I know on their first Twitter page they're pushing a lot of All Out in Chicago for ticket sales, which is kind of crazy for me because All In's coming up sooner rather than later. But we'll see if it goes. But my question is, Kay, what new pay-per-views would you want AEW to do?
I would kind of, like, I know it's tonight and all, but I would like to see Blood and Guts be its own, like, standalone.
Mm-hmm.
On the opposite end, I would like them to stop doing so many Battle of the Belts because I feel like it's unnecessary.
I you know what, if Battle of the Belts was a once a year event, I think that'd be fine.
I feel like it happens like six times a year.
I'm being a little dramatic,
but like it happens a lot, and I think it's too much. What else would I want? Maybe, I don't know, like Great American Bash or like fucking.
Well, Great American Bash is an NXT.
Not Great American Bash. Bash at the Beach, whatever the fuck it is.
I think WWE still has Bash at the Beach.
Then what are they doing in the summer?
They have they have nothing really in the summer.
They
AEW.
Did something in the summer.
Oh, they did. They did Forbidden Door.
No. I could have sworn they did like a Bash at the Beach 1 year or something.
Wasn't it Fyter Fest?
Not Fyter Fest. It was something else. I feel like something beachy was involved.
Who knows? Was it Spring? No, Spring Break was NXT.
No, not that.
Winter is Coming was an AEW
thing. I don't. Winter's coming, I can, like, I could do without that completely.
Oh, it was Beach Blast. Thank you, Mr. Fretz. It was Beach Blast.
Beach Blast. If they change the name, mm-hmm. I think it would be great.
That was the Mimosa match. Oh, it was the Mimosa Mayhem match.
I would love an annual Mimosa match, though. I loved
it. I would not.
It was so stupid. It was so good.
Here's I think that if they took away some of these AEW Dynamite specials and made them actual pay-per-views, it would go better. Like, there is no reason Grand Slam isn't a pay-per-view event.
Grand Slam should be. Actually, that was the one I forgot. I can't believe I forgot it, considering it's literally where I live. Grand Slam should be its own event. Like, especially having gone to it, it felt elevated. Like, I did not feel like I was at a regular Wednesday night episode of Dynamite. It felt special. I felt like I was at a pay-per-view.
Yeah, Grand Slam should be a pay-per-view event. Diamond Dynamite Ring. Diamond Dynamite would... I don't like that as a pay-per-view, but yeah, they have about three or so events, like Grand Slam, Battle of the Belts, and maybe another one that they can just put into their pay-per-view schedule.
Or, like, make up one.
Exactly.
It's not hard.
WWE makes them up all the time.
They could do Great Balls of Fire.
WWE would be petty and still keep the trademark for it, or the copyright. They probably still have it for a while. Thank you, Kay, for the sending of the picture. I really do enjoy it. It's a good picture.
It's a great picture.
It is. Speaking of which, like we said, Blood and Guts could be their, like, War Games pay-per-view, which Blood and Guts is happening right now. It's the Blackpool Combat Club versus the Golden Elite, because guess what, Kay? Kota Ibushi showed up.
I watched it this morning.
The Golden Lovers are back. Kota and Kenny and the Bucks and Hangman Page, because they're doing this. So Blood and Guts is happening. Blood and Guts is easily a pay-per-view. It screams pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't happen. So who do you think wins in this bout tonight? Because we will probably still be on as it's going on. Who wins Blood and Guts? Blackpool Combat Club or Golden Elite?
My guess is the Golden Elite.
I would say so, too. You don't bring in Kota Ibushi just for a one-off to lose. Yeah.
I was just going to say something else. I don't remember what I was going to say. That's annoying.
It's okay. You also have the Owen Hart turner, which should not be a thing, but whatever.
I remember what I wanted to say. I wish that AEW had some sort of other distribution with the pay-per-views, like, example, like putting them on Max instead.
I don't know why they don't use Max to their advantage.
They really should. They have their reality show on HBO right now.
But whatever. But, like, but, you know, they should put more AEW content on Max, because I think it would reach more people.
Because what's fucking annoying is, and it's like, no shade on AEW, but if I buy the pay-per-views most of the time.
Ooh.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oof. Okay, find a stream somewhere.
Every time I find a stream, it, like, does not work out for me.
Every time.
And, like, it more so became, like, a priority, like, since Punk has come back. Because then I'm like, I really, like, can't miss something.
Yeah.
But I don't want to pay $50 every 4 months anymore.
I don't blame you. So, like, I do not blame you at all.
I would love a network. I would love them to put pay-per-views on Max. I would love something else. It's not.
We can clearly do what WWE did with Peacock. I know AEW wants to always be kind of anti-WWE, but guess what? WWE does a lot of stuff that's right. Like, for instance, on Peacock, there is a whole section dedicated to WWE, and Max, formerly known as HBO Max, has the capability to separate stuff. There is a DC section, there is an Adult Swim section, there's a whole bunch of other sections. They can clearly put an All Elite Wrestling section and have a whole bunch of content.
They could put everything on all their networks. They could put Ring of Honor on there if they wanted to. They could have everything on there.
Yeah.
That's what the people want.
I would watch more AEW if it was on Max. I will tell you that right now.
But the only reason I'm able to watch AEW is because I use my parents' fucking cable login.
Yeah.
Like, which is, like, it's nice and all, but that's still annoying. Like, it's, yeah. AEW's not accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
Whereas WWE's a lot more accessible because $4.99 a month, well, now $5.99 because Peacock is going up. Fun fact.
Thank God for that yearly plan, because I am going to switch over to just a one-time year fee. Thank goodness.
I hate yearlies because I forget about them. I hate that. I don't like them. For me, it doesn't...
Understandable.
But I would rather just pay fucking $5.99 a month and be able to see everything I want to see.
Yeah. Whenever you want. Like, I do want to see that Cody Rhodes documentary.
Yeah.
That actually looks really good. I was like, wow, I'm interested in this. You know, but we'll see. Hopefully AEW gets together, because there's a lot of tools at AEW's disposal that I don't think they use as often.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a shame, because they have all the tools to have a lot bigger presence in the streaming world in particular. But there's that. But let's move on. After Blood and Guts, hopefully something goes in well. But let's go on to the closest thing to cinema you'll get outside of Barbie and Oppenheimer, which I will be seeing both movies, into the update of the Bloodline Civil War. Kayfabe, as you probably know, Jey Uso, main event Jey Uso, has challenged Roman Reigns to a match at SummerSlam.
I know, I'm so excited.
Yes, we are assuming it has not been official. We are assuming it's for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. We are assuming that has not actually been put on the line. They are going to do rules of engagement this Friday night on SmackDown, which is going to be on FS1. By the way, SmackDown will not be on Fox because the Women's World Cup which includes the actual good Team USA, the women's soccer team, putting their title on the line. They're starting the World Cup opening round against Vietnam, but they're the defending champions because they're fucking badasses, unlike the men's team. So SmackDown is gonna be on FS1, and they're gonna have the rules of engagement, some hodgepodge that Paul Heyman put together before he got super kicked in the face, which, by the way, Kay, you can probably take a better super kick than Paul can,
probably.
It was pretty bad. So okay, I know you've been watching a while, but what are your thoughts on this new?
I did see this
progression. Okay, did you see the week before where Roman shed that one tear in Madison Square Garden?
Yes,
and then screwed over Jay.
I was really like over the whole Bloodline thing for like a while because it ran a little bit too long for me, but mm-hmm. Now I'm back in and I'm totally into it. But here's the thing, I'm not rooting for Daddy.
Oh, really? You switch sides?
Yeah.
You really switch sides?
Yeah, I switch sides. I'm just, like, over it. Like, it gave me my life when Roman got pinned.
Did it really?
I haven't been on the show, so I've been able to talk about this. It was like, whew. No, it really, like, I wasn't expecting it. And, like, I complain a lot about being able to, like, kind of figure out where mm-hmm. wrestling's gonna go. And I didn't expect it. Because, like, Roman's been, like, unpinned, undefeated for so long.
Two and a half, 3 years.
Yeah. Like, that's great for him. But it got to a point where there were times where I really felt where it was a wrap and it wasn't. So I just like.
Oh, WrestleMania 39.
Yeah.
That was it for me. That killed my motivation for a long time.
Me too. I like didn't enjoy it. So since Mania with Roman, I've kind of just been like, okay, like watching it because like it's there mm-hmm. and like hoping it would like get better. But now it's interesting and it's like fresh again and it's exciting. Roman losing for me is the most interesting thing Roman could have done, because we get it. He's hot. He beat everybody. Do something.
There's actually a TikTok video of him getting ready for a match.
Oh.
Yeah, they have backstage footage of him getting ready for a match, and he's spraying himself with water so he glistens when he comes out.
Ooh.
I will send it to you.
Appreciate it.
He's doing like push-ups, like without a shirt on before he goes out, and like stretching and whatnot.
We stand Glistening King.
Yeah, you will enjoy it. I'm interested in this too. I mean, Jey Uso has benefited the most out of this entire Bloodline storyline. He shows that he's really good at what he does.
He deserves an award.
Like, yeah, an award that he'll be the only one to show up to because everybody else is on strike.
No, literally, like if there was like a if wrestling had a legitimate like Oscars, Tonys for like that, for the promo work specifically.
Oh, it'd be Jey Uso
immediately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He knows how to his facial expressions. He was masterful in working the crowd on SmackDown last week. Absolutely masterful. And he had him right there. Jey would get a slammy if we still did the slammies. So it's good to see. I'm interested to see how a SummerSlam bout will go, what the stipulations might be. I still feel like Roman will come out alive. Like, I will be so shocked if Jey takes his title off of Roman.
That's the thing. Like, I don't think Roman's losing the title until Mania.
Yeah, I think that title is Cody's to win. In my opinion.
I don't know if it's Cody's. I don't know whose it is, though. That's the thing.
He ain't going for Seb's title.
No. I think Cody will get the title eventually. I just, like, I don't think it's Roman.
Ugh, it's hard. I mean, there's...
It's too long now. That's the thing.
Here's my thing. Rocky didn't win in Rocky 1, did he?
I don't remember. I haven't seen Rocky since I was a kid.
Rocky did not win in Rocky 1. He won in the second one. Where's WrestleMania next year?
Philly. Rocky.
It writes itself.
Yeah.
It writes itself. It really, really does. But we can theorize about that. We have like 6-7 months before WrestleMania becomes like a real, real thing. Although, by the way, Kay, would you want to travel with me to Philly for the on sale party?
When is the on sale party?
They haven't announced it yet, but when it gets closer, I will let you know.
What day of the week is it normally?
Jesus Christmas. It might be midweek.
If it's on a Monday or a Tuesday, I 1,000,000% confirmed can come.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
I'm in.
Because that is one of my goals. I just want to go, even if we don't buy tickets, which is probably a lie because I will at least buy tickets, I just want to go for the experience.
I want to go to the on sale party. I am just not ready to plan the WrestleMania yet. I'm not ready.
That is perfectly fine with me. I just want to go to the party, maybe get some cheese sticks on the way.
Oh, no, I'm down for the
just chill
steaks.
Out.
I just...
Cheese sticks, free photo ops and free autographs just because.
Yeah. I feel like we haven't even talked about, like, here at home, we haven't talked about, like, our Mania plans yet. Like, we want to go. We just haven't planned it yet. We have 2 more trips before Mania.
I totally understand. I totally get it. Let's move on to another feud that actually got really good really quickly. Shayna and Ronda is about to be really, really fun.
Is it? Ronda? Mm-hmm. Ronda fun? Really?
It's because Shayna's carrying this.
Oh.
So as we know, Shayna turned on Ronda.
Mm-hmm.
In a very shocking fashion.
Honestly, I was here for it. I was...
A lot of us were.
I just but
the love great part
Ronda.
The great part about it is that they're letting Shayna be like NXT Shayna.
I noticed that.
And they're letting her like kind of cut promos because she came out the other week. It was like, Ronda, no one wants to hear you try to speak on a mic anymore.
Facts.
You know, she was like, you were handed everything. I had to work my way. I had to put rings together. I had to do tryouts to make it to where I was. And you just waltzed in through the back door. You know, and Ronda had a good retort this past week after Shayna choked out a returning Nikki Cross, as Nikki Cross got a degree, went back to college, got a degree. And her congratulations was get choked out in 5 seconds by Shayna.
Okay.
You know, so congratulations to Nikki Cross on that. But Ronda had a bit of a rebuttal from a luxury box suite in Atlanta, which is such a Ronda thing to do, which panders to her character. But she said, is it more difficult, which is, this is more of a philosophical question, is it more difficult to be, as she said, to be trained by the best people to work on your character and make your way through the system the way they want you to? Or is it harder to go through the back door, have your first match at WrestleMania, and try to do all of that stuff that you were had years to learn to do, and I had to do it in like a year? Which, good point, Rhonda. I get it.
That's a good point, but also, like, don't cry about having privilege.
Good counterpoint. Good counterpoint, kayfabe. So it's good. They play off of each other well. They are really playing this to not have them touch at all. Mm-hmm. Until SummerSlam, which, again, great call. Mm-hmm. They need to do the fight pit.
Yes.
You have two MMA superstars in their day. We need to have the first ever female fight pit.
It would be incredible. And, like, again, I hate Ronda Rousey, but that is literally the only thing I want to see her do is that fight pit with Shayna Baszler.
And I think they'll have the room to do it. You pretty much have the pending merger with UFC. You can totally make this a, like, real quick UFC style, like, event.
Oh, in for an sure. Instant.
In an instant. And people will eat it up.
Yeah.
Absolutely eat it up. And they are getting a little bit close to SummerSlam, so, like, they would have to start really pressing, like, the promotional tour, which they'll be pretty easy to do since no one else is promoting anything. Mm-hmm. Right now, no actors are doing shit. But they made this a marquee match at SummerSlam, like a fight pit UFC style match in WWE in a football stadium in Detroit. That's going to bring a lot of eyes.
I think SummerSlam is going to have, like, it has a really unique amount of pressure on it this year because of the strikes, because of its location, everything, like, especially because while SummerSlam, like, is a big four, like, I feel like it might have, like, WrestleMania, almost WrestleMania-level attention on it because, respectfully, what else does anyone have to entertain them right now? Besides, like, they baseball.
Yeah, and that's usually hit or miss because the Yankees aren't doing that well. Go Yanks, by the way. SummerSlam has always kind of been WrestleMania summer.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, with everything else going on, or the lack of anything else going on, SummerSlam becomes a really big deal. So they have to knock it out of the park, and I think they have the perfect setup for it. You have Shayna, Ronda, Cody Brock, which we're not really talking about this week, Jay and Roman, which is just the one of the greatest wrestling stories going on right now. You have Bianca, Asuka, Charlotte, with Io Shirai in the background, that's someone as, like, you got a triple threat or fatal four way going on with that.
Seth Rollins, Finn Balor
is also a thing as well. Gunther, Drew McIntyre is going to happen. That's a great card.
That's a meat slapping card.
Yeah, that is a great card that you can do a lot with. SummerSlam has a lot of. Has a lot that it has to execute and do, but I think it's going to get a lot of it done really well. Shayna and Ronda, I think, are going to be a big part of it if they continue to book it as strong as they have been booking it. Mm-hmm. But we will see. Also, something interesting that kind of happened a little backstage on SmackDown. Bobby showed up on SmackDown, Kay.
I don't remember that at all.
It was probably not on Hulu, but Bobby showed up on SmackDown and met Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins.
Stop it.
In the parking lot and said, come with me.
Oh, my God.
And they left in a limo together. So your imaginations can run wild, but I think Bobby is reforming the Hurt Business in his image.
That's what I thought as well.
I'm very excited.
Yo, a fucking Street Profits Hurt Business, especially if they could somehow link Bianca, would be so good.
also, because Bianca's got a little bit of a, her character's changing. She's got a little bit of a mean streak now. Yeah. She's getting a little bit more pissed off. I think you'll enjoy this, kayfabe, because follow my thought process with it. If you make Bianca the heater, like China was in DX, I think you have all the elements there to be a ridiculously amazing faction.
I would agree.
Like, Bianca as the heater. I don't know who your real mouthpiece is. Bobby can talk, but he can't really talk. And I don't know if you want Montez being the mouthpiece if Bobby's the leader. You know what I mean?
I think they could get away with having Montez as the mouth. If Bob's and Bobby is the leader. Shots. Yeah.
Okay.
Bobby is the neck turning the head.
Okay. I got you. But I do like it. I mean, number one, I want to see Montez and Bianca in a storyline together because they do kind of keep them separate.
I want them together so bad.
And I think Bianca with more of a mean streak, especially if Bianca loses in a shitty way to either Charlotte or Asa, because we know how Charlotte does at SummerSlam. She finds a shitty way to win and screws somebody over. I think that could be the catalyst for her really going with this, whatever this new faction is, which I do love Fretz's coining them the smoke business.
I don't think it
would fly on TV,
no.
But I love it.
The fact that Matt Riddle got a 420 shirt was like enough.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I love it. I love this idea. I want to see her.
Honestly, what I really want a storyline, I want Bianca in a hair versus hair match.
I've noticed
something. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before. If I have, I'm really sorry.
I don't think you have.
I have a theory about Bianca's braid.
Okay, what's the theory?
Have you noticed that, like, it's not always as together as it used to be?
Yeah, that started at WrestleMania.
Yes. And notice, like, she was obviously coming to the end of her reign. I feel like...
You think the story's in the hair?
I think there's significance with the hair. Because the more together she was with her title and her career and stuff, her hair, her braid was very... Even, like, before the match even started, it was very together, very pristine, like...
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, she'll come down the runway and, like, she'll have the braid, but there are bits coming out of the braid. Like, it's not a perfect braid. It's not strong. I think there's a story with the hair.
I like where you're going with that. I love the foreshadowing. You know me and my Marvel stuff. So it's the devil's in the details. So I like that as kind of being a thing. I don't know if you're going with, like, she might lose. I don't know if she'll actually lose the hair.
But that's the thing. I could see her losing the hair, and that's the catalyst for her change. A lot of times when women, I don't mean to generalize because I'm sure, like, other people do this as well, but there's just something really cathartic about if you have really, really long hair, chopping off all of your hair after you've been through shit, it feels really good because there's a lot of energy in your hair that, like, you are holding onto your trauma, you're holding onto things into your hair.
It's a reset, yeah.
So by Bianca losing the braid, I feel that very much could be the true reset point for her.
Which is interesting as well, because there is some hair that is being lost in the world of wrestling days, as I don't know if you saw Shotzi's segment.
I saw, yeah.
So from what I've gathered from it, this was something that Shotzi wanted to do.
I heard a tribute for her sister.
It is a tribute for her sister who has been diagnosed with cancer, I believe. So I think that is the detail behind the Shotzi losing the hair thing. And I hope it goes well. We are big Shotzi fans here on this podcast. Shotzi is amazing. I remember going to an indie event with kayfabe and Kay first laying eyes on Shotzi.
Game over.
As Shotzi ran around the ring in her helmet like a mad woman.
And now I keep Shotzi's helmet in my office.
Nice. I think that was also the same indie event, Shine, where you saw Big Swole for the first time, too.
Yes, it was. It's the same day. It's a great day for me. No, that's still one of my favorite wrestling shows I've ever been to. It was the
Shine Evolve. Yeah.
One of my favorite shows I've ever been to.
I miss Evolve. Yeah. So much. I miss going to that damn LaBoom nightclub arena.
I just, now that I live so fucking close now, I hate that it's like not, Evolve's like no, not a thing anymore.
I would go like every month, but you can't be like, I'm taking a train from Bayshore. I would literally go
every time.
All the time.
I literally go every month.
Mm-hmm. We'd buy tickets. I'd be like, all right, meet me outside. Let's go. Yeah. Oh, so much fun. I miss it, but I like I said, the devil's in the details with that. Hopefully things go well with Shotzi and then and the revamped Hurt Business, because honestly, they need to do something with Bobby, because Bobby got screwed when Bray Wyatt left.
Yeah.
Bobby got screwed real bad when Bray Wyatt left, so you gotta give Bobby something to do. Something to do really badly. And speaking of something to do, we have new women's tag team championships. Tell me when you've heard that before. Yes.
I definitely missed that on Raw.
Mm-hmm. So Raquel and Liv won them, obviously, at Money in the Bank when Shayna turned on Ronda. Mm-hmm. And so that was like 3 weeks ago. So this is like a 3 week reign. Although I do have a feeling that they were going to lose the titles around this time anyways, because they were supposed to hold on to these titles, but then Liv got injured. So then they relinquished, and then Shayna and Ronda won. It actually kind of working out the best for everybody, because now you got the Shayna turning on Ronda storyline, and then Liv and Raquel got to kind of get somewhat of a half-ass reign. However, if you've noticed when you've watched, they are setting up Raquel and Rhea.
Oh, for sure.
Real blatantly, to the point where Rhea attacked Raquel before this match, which, essentially led to the demise of them losing the titles to Chelsea and Sonya. And say what you want about them, even though Chelsea should have gone with Carmella, because Carmella got pregnant. It happens.
Yeah.
But I do feel happy for Chelsea. She had a very big up and down career with WWE for a while, because she kept on getting injured. And Sonya, who has been in WWE, which seems like forever at this point, she had the unfortunate stalker situation, which took her out for a very, very long time. This is Daddy DeVille's first title in WWE.
Oh, shit, it is.
It's her first championship.
That's crazy to think about.
And honestly, good for her. Finally. Because she has been through a lot of shit. And she has gone through a lot of different character tweaks and changes. And she's done a lot of them real well.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, Commissioner Sonya was kind of a son of a bitch, but a really good job. Mm-hmm. Daddy DeVille was great. That got cut short with the Mandy thing. But I loved Kylo Ren, Daddy DeVille, when she was just angry. Mm-hmm. You know. So I'm... Does it suck that Liv and Raquel, because I thought they did have something going with the tag team titles, lose? Yes. But Raquel and Rhea needed to happen. Like, that needed to happen, because the knock on Raquel, ever since she came to Raw and SmackDown, is that she has, like, the Apollo Crews syndrome.
What do you mean?
Like, she smiles. She smiles too much. She's too happy to be there.
That's what I don't like about her on the main roster.
Yeah, she smiles too much. She's too happy to be there. She need like where like cuz on NXT, she was a bad bitch.
Yeah,
like she was still a baby face, but like they made her smile. Like, she has great teeth. But like, where's the aggression? And I think Rhea is going to bring that out of her.
Good.
Again, people forget Raquel retired Rhea from NXT. They had a last woman standing match, which was bonkers.
Yeah.
By the way, it was absolutely nutty. And we have been waiting for them to kind of rekindle that. And now we're getting somewhere.
That's something I like would want to see. I don't know if I want to like say Mania, maybe. I don't know.
I think they've invested so much in Rhea. They haven't invested so much in Raquel. I mean, they have invested a good amount, but then she was in a tag team, but Raquel needs a standout dominant performance, and if she can go toe-to-toe with essentially their golden woman in Rhea right now, then that's going to do a lot more for Raquel, where she could get that Mania moment down the road with Rhea.
That's true.
But I think Raquel needs this.
Yeah.
And she needs to go a little bit more solo and be a little more dominant and be like what she was at the end of her NXT run. We used to call her Big Mommy Cool because she was like pretty much like a Latina Diesel.
Yeah.
And just a badass. And that's fine. And I'm okay with Chelsea and Sonya getting the tag titles because I think their characters can do a lot with it.
Yeah.
And they're fun. I'm a Chelsea Green fan. I think she's funny as fuck.
She is funny. I think she's finally found her footing this time around.
Well, because she's not injured.
Yeah, that too.
She's not injured. And they allowed her to be her character that she was when she was in Impact. Mm-hmm. Which is just a giant, crazy Karen.
It's wild.
I know. That's why I wanted her and Carmella to work out so much. And then Carmella got pregnant.
Yeah.
So. What a shame. But like I said, congratulations to them. And also, big congratulations to Daddy DeVille. Always been a big Daddy DeVille fan. Mm-hmm. And so she deserves it. Long Maver championship reign. But pretty much that's pretty much our update this week for the World of Wrestling. Hold on. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on, but there's also some things where it's, you know, it's a holding pattern.
Yeah.
For right now. SummerSlam's coming up. Great American Bash is going to be coming up for NXT. That's going to be the end of July, which got some good stuff going on there. And clearly we have Dominic Mysterio as the North American champion.
I can't believe. Good for him.
There's an ROH show this weekend, Mr. Fretz. Really?
Where?
Didn't they just have Death Before Dishonor?
I think so.
They did, which is the travesty that is ROH under Tony Khan and AEW. It could be a whole other podcast. Because I feel so bad for everybody on ROH. Like, just from a Max deal in general, Ring of Honor, if you're not going to give them a TV deal, Ring of Honor should be streaming on Max.
That would be so good.
Like, Honor Club should be just a part of Max.
That's part of what I wanted to say earlier when I was, like, bitching about Max. Like, ROH on there would be fabulous.
Absolutely. They have the catalog. Just shove it on Max. You know, or you can pay like the wrestling tier and get all this other stuff. Like, there's a lot they can do with it. As long as those people get residuals, though, because that's a big streaming service controversy in and of itself, that people aren't getting residuals for their content. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing with the SAG strike. Yeah. Be it as it may. We have anything else, Kay? Or are we about to get out of here?
I'm ready to go to bed.
I know you're ready to go, but no post-show this week, folks. We are just going to call the show after this. So we'll save the post-show for probably for next week. So until then, folks, let's get this show on the road. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Kings of Rings Podcast, episode number 347. Hold the line, and you hold that line. You support those SAG and WGA workers because they are fighting for, you know, fair pay. Let's just put it that way. I have been your fair and honest host, King Ricky Rose. You can formerly find me at Ambassador the Biggs across all social media outlets whenever I decide to return. Find Kings of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast across all social media outlets. Like, share, subscribe, leave us 5-star reviews wherever you can. If you are listening to us, make sure you're listening to us on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. And follow Wrestle Addict Radio social media at @addict_wrestle on Twitter and Wrestle Addict Radio everywhere else. The links of all of that, including some of our fantastic merch, is in the description below. Kayfabe, what do you got for the fans?
It is bedtime. You can find me across some social media platforms at @K_Fabe, @KAE_Fabe. I got nothing going on. The Disney Dreamlight Valley update apparently came out today. So
I get it back on that.
I need to play. They got the little girl from Wreck-It Ralph in it, I think, this update of Vanellope.
Jesus. Really?
Yeah, the last update is really cool. The story is just getting really, really interesting.
Huh.
So I highly recommend you get back on your Disney Dreamlight grind. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll do that. So if we come back next week, hopefully we'll be here. Hopefully not. Kayfabe should also be here, and we will still be holding that line and bringing you some of the best pro wrestling content that this podcast can. So until then, folks, goodbye. Good night. We'll see you soon. Just not you, Slack. Fuck you, Slack. Scab. See you later, folks. This has been a WrestleAddict Radio branded podcast.